Was Jesus really born on December 25th, or are we sure that he wasn't? And should we celebrate a holiday that has alleged pagan origins, or is it always right to celebrate the birth of Jesus? Or maybe we should just celebrate Hanukkah? We'll debate it all today right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yes, yes, it is time for our annual Christmas debate. I will not be debating. I will be facilitating the debate as we talk about Christmas. Should it be celebrated by Christians? Maybe we should just celebrate Hanukkah. Or hang on, why don't we just keep the biblical calendar? What are you talking about? Jesus came into the world. Let's celebrate that. What are you talking about? He wasn't born on December 25th. What are you talking about? It doesn't really matter when he was born. We know he was born, and we're going to celebrate it. Great time to do outreach. What are you talking about? It's filled with pagan traditions. Come on, man. It's just materialism. Yeah, yeah. A lot of different views. We're going to talk about it today. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. Do you feel strongly about this one way or another? Do you feel that there is an assault from the society on Christmas, hence trying to take Christ out of Christmas? Doesn't that tell you something? You might say, come on, man, the tree, the mistletoe, all this is pagan stuff, December 25th, you know, feast day of the sun god. Others say, no, no, there's evidence that's when Jesus was born. Others say, who cares what the date was? We use this for the glory of God. What do you think? What's your take? Should we celebrate Christmas? Should we just incorporate the celebration of the birth of Jesus into the biblical calendar? Does it in fact have pagan origins on December 25th? Is there good evidence to the contrary? Jesus was born at that time. What's the smartest posture for raising your family? What's the smartest posture for using this to glorify the Lord? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. A couple things I want to get into first. First, tell me if you recognize this music and if you recognize this voice. You probably will, most of you.
You are so beautiful. To me.
Now that was the voice of Joe Cocker. Sorry, the clip was a little low there. So he died of lung cancer yesterday at the age of 70. He became very prominent after Woodstock, especially with his rendition of With a Little Help from My Friends, battled with drug and alcohol issues for years. And I saw him in concert, probably 70. It could have been early 71 at the Fillmore East. And It just makes you think. Today is also the birthday of our younger daughter, Megan. Two daughters and four grandkids we have, Nancy and I. You think of how quickly time flies. You think of how quickly life can pass you by. You think of how quickly decades go by. Hey, Joey, I was just looking at a picture of Meg years ago, and probably in that picture, I'm in my late 20s, early 30s. Meg's a little older than that now. She's in her mid-30s. And I think, wow, isn't that amazing? There's a picture of me with our girls when they were so little. Now the girls, both of them older than me in that picture. Time goes so, so quickly. Spend your time wisely. Redeem your time with God and with family. Use your life for the glory of God. Before you know it, we'll be standing before him, giving account. And I want to encourage you, live your life to the full. Live your life in a way that is worthy of the gospel. Live your life in a way that makes sense in the light of eternity. We come back, I want to mention to you a very positive gesture by the daughter of Eric Garner. It took place yesterday. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
That's a little different music. Christmas music. That's actually Hanukkah, O Hanukkah by Theodore Bakel. So at this time of the year, many of you will be having special church outreach services around Christmas, and people will be coming to faith. Some of you will go Christmas caroling and just joyful tradition. Some of you will just have fun family time and maybe read accounts from the Gospels of the birth of Jesus, or maybe a candlelight service on Christmas Eve at your congregation. Others will say, no way, we gave that up years and years ago. That's just the way of the world. That's just paganism. And even if there's some nice traditions with it, no, our family, we do what Jesus did. We celebrated Hanukkah. And that's when we celebrate the birth of the Messiah. And others say, no, it's during the time of Tabernacles. That's the most likely time he was born. That's when we celebrated. Come on, that's the biblical calendar. And others say, why even make a fuss out of it when anybody does individually? That's between them and God. Others say, no, look, the spirit of the world, the spirit of the age is against Christmas. That should tell you something when the world wants to take Christ out of Christmas. And someone else replies, no, that proves the opposite point. The world loves Christmas because the world loves its own. 866-34-TRUTH. What's your take? What's your family tradition? Do you feel passionately about that? I'll go to the phones shortly, but I want to bring attention to something very positive in the midst of a time of tremendous pain and turmoil. You have the deaths of my namesake, Michael Brown, Eric Garner, other blacks killed at the hands of police. Grand juries not indicting the police in the two cases that I mentioned. Obviously, ongoing time of pain for the families, regardless of right, wrong, regardless of who's responsible for what, an obvious time of pain for those families. And then something that none of the families wanted to see happen, an act of violence, murder against two cops in Brooklyn. This individual saying that he was going to get revenge for the deaths of Michael Brown and Eric Garner, and both families immediately issuing a statement that they deplored the violence and were praying for the families and sent condolences. Well, yesterday, Emerald Snipes, one of the daughters of Eric Garner, laid a wreath at the site in Brooklyn where officers Rafael Ramos and Wenjin Liu were killed. She also visited the Ramos family, and she said, I just had to come out, let their family know that we stand with them, and I'm going to send my prayers and condolences to all the families who are suffering through this tragedy. And she said, I know how it feels in this season to not have your father around. In the midst of the pain and the turmoil, it's so important that messages like this are sent. This young woman was also joined by Dominique Sharpton, daughter of Al Sharpton. And she said, I was never anti-police. Like I've said before, I have family that's in the NYPD that I've grown up around, family reunions and everything. So my family, you know, we're not anti-police. Again, it's so important to send those messages out. And messages like that bring steps towards healing and reconciliation as opposed to deepening divisions. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll start in the Bronx with Elaine. Welcome to the Line of Fire. What's
Hi,
your
Dr.
take?
Brown.
Hey, Elaine, how you doing?
To you. I'm fine. How are you? Can you
doing
hear me
very
well?
Well. I can hear you.
Okay. About your subject, Christmas?
Yeah.
I do not believe that Christians should celebrate Christmas.
Okay.
I mean, all those symbols of Christmas, the wreath, the trees, we know those are all pagan derivatives. But my question is, too, God, who is so specific, so detailed in everything, I mean, I'm reading Leviticus, and he's telling about, you know, the sin offering, the burnt offering, and he's so detailed, and he, And God is detailed in everything. He says what he means, and he means what he said. And when it comes to Matthew, he does not tell us when his son was born. So for us to celebrate Christmas, is we're adding to God's word. We're saying, God, you didn't tell us, but we're going to celebrate his birth anyway. And we're saying, I mean, the first century, the Christians did not celebrate his birthday because that's not what they did. That was a Roman thing. And why didn't his beloved disciples celebrate his birthday? That was a thing that they did. I mean, the disciple who loved him, the apostle who he loved, John, Peter, Paul, why didn't they celebrate it? Because that's not what they did. So I don't believe that Christians should celebrate Christmas. This is not something that God meant us to do. He would have told us. He told us everything he wanted us to know. And he did not tell us when his son was born. There's a reason why he didn't tell us that.
Got it. Hey, Elaine, you make some very strong points. I appreciate it. We'll see what others have to say in response. Thank you for getting us started and weighing in. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. So a few points, that Elaine has made. One is that God in his word was detailed. Do this, do this, don't do this, don't do that. You say, okay, well, that was under the Old Testament law. All right, well, there are many injunctions in the New Testament and calls to do many things, calls to pray and calls to evangelize and calls to minister to the poor and how husbands and wives and families should conduct themselves and so on. How come no injunction to celebrate the birth of Jesus? That's one question. Second question, how come no details about when he was born, and isn't the focus to be on his death and resurrection? Isn't when that should be the greater emphasis in the New Testament? So some reasons from Elaine as a follower of the scriptures and a follower of Jesus as to not celebrate Christmas. 866-34-TRUTH. I saw this posted on my website yesterday, a Facebook page, actually, and it was someone just talking about December 25th and saying this whole idea that this was just a pagan celebration is absolutely wrong. And it's, from the website December25th.info, DEC25TH, December25th.info. It says, this is Christmas pagan. I'm sick and tired of people simply saying that Christmas has pagan beginnings as is in fact a baptized pagan holiday. And on the website, individual says, I intend to show in a short post that this is not the case at all. The earliest case of people proposing commemorating December 25th of the birth date of Christ is actually shortly after the turn of the second century AD. Theophilus, a bishop of Caesarea in Palestine, 115 to 181, wrote, we ought to celebrate the birthday of our Lord on what day soever the 25th of December shall happen. Clement of Alexandria, 153 to 217, wrote, and there are those who have determined not only the year of our Lord's birth, but also the day. And they say that it took place in the 28th year of Augustus and in the 25th day of, is it Pachon? Sorry for my mispronunciation. Counting from the death of Antony in 30 B.C., the 28th year of Augustus would have been 2 B.C., the first month of the Egyptian calendar with Thoth, answering to late August, etc. The ninth month was Pachon, the 25th of Pachon on just to the 20th of May, however, and on, so different debate about the dates there. 866-34-TRUTH. Laura on Long Island, welcome to the Line of Fire. What's your take on this? Hello,
yes,
Laura.
Christmas. Yes, hi, how are you?
Doing well, go ahead.
I do agree that Christmas is a pagan holiday, and we are not told in Scripture to observe Christmas in any way.
Got it.
In Leviticus 23, our Creator tells us the feasts that we are to celebrate and exactly how we are to celebrate them. We have the spring feasts, we have the fall feasts, which is Passover, Feast of Tabernacles, which actually Feast of Tabernacles is when our Savior and Messiah Yeshua was actually born. It was not December 25th. December 25th was a pagan feast. the Feast of Saturnalia.
Got it. All right, and what makes you say that? Well, I guess she got her point in and got cut off there. 866-34-TRUTH. Obviously, there are many of you who differ with what's been shared so far. Some who agree. Can we really determine when Jesus was born? There is debate about that. Can we really determine when he was born or not? Or does it matter? Aren't we robbing people from a wonderful celebration at this time of the year and some of the most beautiful hymns and "Oh, Come Let Us Adore Him" and things like that? Or should those be sung year-round? 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be back with your calls.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, oh, come.
The voice of Marty Goetz singing, "Oh, Come, All Ye Faithful." Boy, don't you have great memories of singing some of those wonderful songs that we call Christmas carols, singing some of those songs at this time of the year? Others say, no, actually, no. We celebrate the birth of Jesus whenever we like. Betsy, just to be clear on my message, if you could note on some of the calls as they keep coming in, whether folks are pro or con, sorry for my unclear message I just read. Didn't explain that well. We're discussing Christmas today. Should it be celebrated? If so, why? If not, why? What are your views on it? I'll share some of my own thoughts as we go on, but I want to hear primarily from you. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Lee in Silver Spring, Maryland. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thanks.
Great. I believe that. I think there's a passage in the New Testament. I'm not sure exactly where it is. It indicates that why should I be condemned or not because of what you believe.
Mm-hmm. Romans 14, right.
Yes, you can celebrate any holiday you want. I mean, so is there anything wrong with it? I mean, because he could not have died had he not been born.
Uh-huh.
So I don't have a problem saying, thank God he was born, so that he could have died for my sin. So if someone wants to celebrate it, fine. If someone don't want to, that's fine. I hear that the callers refer a lot to the Old Testament. There are a lot of things in the Old Testament that can be misused or misconstrued as it relates to the New Testament. But my point is there are a lot of the carols that are sung that are actually true. Glory to the newborn king. He was the king of and still is the king.
Mm-hmm.
And so to condemn someone for celebrating any holiday is really against scripture. So
got it. If the holiday was, you know, worship of some pagan deity or something
sure.
like that, or celebrating, you know, some ugly, sinful rite, it would be one thing. But otherwise, matter of personal conscience and what we're celebrating
Absolutely.
Is something good
right.
and positive. Got it. Hey, Lee, I'm sure you speak for many with that as well. So that's another view. You don't have to have a conviction on it either way. Romans 14 makes plain. In another context, the one who celebrates a day does it to the Lord. The one who doesn't celebrate a day doesn't celebrate it as unto the Lord. Let everybody be firmly convinced in their own mind and don't pass judgment on someone else's servant. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Long Branch, New Jersey. Donna, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to say I look at it as an opportunity to glorify God and to point people that the fact he has come. And I think of the scripture that says, work while it is called day, because nighttime comes where no man can work anymore. And I don't like the side, of course, where it's like all the presents, overkill, and the Santa Claus thing. And even the Christmas trees. But I look for the opportunity because he has come, and to glorify him in an opportunity to communicate to maybe people who haven't heard that message. So that's how I look at it.
Got it. All right. Absolutely. Why not use this time to get the gospel out? And people are talking about Jesus. Okay, so it's commercialized. You got Santa Claus, you got all the other silly stuff, but we can get the message out in a positive way. 866-34-TRUTH. Don, driving somewhere through Charlotte, North Carolina. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. I agree with the Romans 14 view, but let me go ahead and add something. The people who celebrate shouldn't look down on the people who don't celebrate, and the people who don't celebrate shouldn't look down on the people who do celebrate. I also would bring up not just the similarities in Israel and the church, but also there are some differences, and not all of the injunctions and feasts are mandated upon the church. I guess that's
right.
About it.
Exactly. So the question is, if we talk about biblical calendar, does that mean that everything that was given in Leviticus is binding on the church today, or are there certain things that are universal principles for everyone, moral conduct and sexual conduct and things like that? How do we sort that
things
out?
Like
so,
that.
Right, another
things
fair
like
question. Yeah, now here's the thing. Thank you for the call, Don. I appreciate it. There are many of you who don't really think about it. It's just been part of life. There are many who have really thought about it and have deep, passionate convictions. And when you have deep, passionate convictions, you believe there is a right and a wrong. And that's the potential danger of being so convicted about this that we now negatively judge others who differ with us. And you say, well, no, this is something to divide over. This is that major. And others say, how in the world are we going to have a fight over this? That's why we have the discussion, to listen to what each side of this has to say and to hear what your own convictions are. 866-34-TRUTH. I would guess that there is more dissent about Christmas today than there was 50 years ago, as many believers question church traditions and many believers look more at the Jewish roots of the faith. At the same time, if we go back to the founding of America, the Puritan founders of the colonies, there was a ban against celebrating Christmas at all. A similar ban had taken place in England. What was that about? 866-34-TRUTH. Before going back to the phones, make sure you go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. And click on the special resource offer. Our team put something together very special from now until January 4th. Any order placed on our website of any size, as small, as large as you want, you get 25% off. And there's no limit to the quantities as long as we have them in stock. So while supplies last, go to the website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Make sure you take advantage of this special holiday offer. Our phone lines are jammed. I'm going to continue this conversation another hour and a half. Even if you lose me on your radio station or go outside of your range of your station, you can still call in the next 90 minutes, 866-34-TRUTH. I do just want to make this one point. As a Jew growing up, even though we weren't religious, there could be some fun holiday time when everyone celebrated Christmas. But if there was a holiday we celebrated religiously, it was Hanukkah. And, you know, chanting the prayers at Hanukkah. I never liked doing that. I didn't think my voice sounded good chanting the prayer. I mean, silly things that kids think. But it did not have much depth of meaning to me because I wasn't raised in a religious home. But to this day, I'm very sensitive to the fact that Hanukkah and Christmas also come at the same time. So if someone says happy holidays to me, that doesn't offend me personally. I don't think they're trying to take Christ out of Christmas, because Hanukkah and Christmas often come at the same time. For others, it is a matter of taking Christ out.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Whatever you do with Christmas, celebrating, non-celebrating, if this at any point in your life or in your family life was an exciting time where you did focus on Jesus coming into the world, where you did focus on outreach, where you did focus on sharing the good news with others, where you did focus on reading the accounts of the Gospels concerning the birth of the Son of God, if this was at any time special to you in a spiritual way, and then for some reason you decide not to do it. You say, on December 25th, that was a pagan day. The traditions with it are sketchy, or I don't think Jesus was born then, or it's become so commercialized, or the Christmas, or all this stuff I don't like, and you get rid of it. If you had something positive, make sure that you don't lose the positive that you had, that you don't lose that which was special. So if you go away from the negative, don't lose whatever positive you had. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll go to West Caldwell, New Jersey. Mark, welcome to the line of fire. Hello, Mark, are you there? I guess not. We'll go to the Bronx. Roy, welcome to the line of fire.
Yes, Roy here. Good afternoon, Dr. Brown.
Good afternoon.
Yes. Well, the pagan day, there isn't a day of the week that wasn't pagan. Should we worship on Sunday? Sunday was worship of the sun. Yes, so a lot of this stuff of Old Testament is obsolete, one. And what we do today, the lady that you spoke to first, she used a phone. Should we use a phone? I'm sure she has a fridge home, too. Should we use a fridge?
Uh-huh.
She wear her shoes. Should not we wear sandals? And so on and so forth. Actually, the 25th of December was a pagan day. And the Christian took it over. Some of us don't even know what was worshipped on the 25th of December. Many of us don't know, but we do acquire this day to worship God for his son. So his birthday is important, yes. We don't know, but that doesn't say that we can't give God thanks for it. So that's it.
Got it. All right. Hey, Roy, I appreciate it. You said a whole bunch of things that will get attention of our listeners. The one I just want to stress again was, okay, let's say December 25th was a pagan day, pagan holiday. I don't think anyone is debating that. Now pagans are getting saved, and Christians say, well, let's redeem the day. Every day belongs to God, right? 866-34-TRUTH. It was William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army, that came under flak and attack because he would take songs that were sung in the bars. He would take the tunes. He or his workers would then take gospel lyrics and put them to those tunes, and they would march down the streets singing songs that were to the tune of bar tunes, but with gospel words. And William Booth says, devil doesn't own any note. Every single note on the keyboard is owned by God. So, devil, you can't have that. You can come up with the tune, but God owns the notes. Well, the same way you could say God owns every day on the calendar, 365 days. God owns every one of them. And if one day is designated in a certain culture for worship of a pagan deity, worship of a false god, you say, no, we're going to take that day and celebrate the birth of the Son of God on that and say to the pagans, you can't have that day. Every day belongs to God. We're going to redeem this for the glory of God. That's one of the arguments that aggressively feeds into this. Others say, come on, man. All the paganism on the day, all the commercialism, what does that tell you? We'll continue the discussion. Phone lines are jammed. I'll get right to your calls as soon as we come back.
It's the light. Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Michael Brown, welcome to the Line of Fire. This is our annual Christmas debate. Our first two callers very decidedly against the celebration of Christmas based on what the Bible does tell us to celebrate and the detailed commands about days and seasons, etc., and the ambiguity about when Jesus was actually born and no command to celebrate his birth. Most callers since then have been positive on it, or at the very least saying we shouldn't judge others. What do you have to say? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Washington, D.C. Andre, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you, sir.
All right. So if you would have asked me this question last year, I would have hands down said definitely no, Christmas is a pagan holiday. But I've been praying on that ever since last year, and I've you know, read the Bible, and this is the verse that kept me basically in the middle. And I believe that it's all based on your faith. If you receive faith within your personal relationship that this holiday is you celebrating God and giving glory to God, then he's all for it. But if you feel as though your faith is not there, then that's when it should convict you. But I'm coming from Colossians 2:16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or respect of an holiday or in new moon or of the Sabbath day. And I use that scripture when people argue about Sabbath on Saturday and Sunday. And I basically believe that every day is, like you said before, every day is dedicated to the Lord, and this holiday is no different.
Got it. Hey, Andre, I appreciate you giving it reflection over the year. And whatever you do or don't do, be blessed in doing it or not doing it.
Thank you. You as well.
All right. Thanks. 866-34-TRUTH. Certainly in Colossians 2, Paul is exhorting the Colossians not to let anyone put them under pressure to celebrate a seventh-day Sabbath or to celebrate new moon or holy day. And he reminds them that the shadow is in the day and the substance is in the Messiah. And yes, you can make that application to these larger questions that we're talking about today. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Pastor Al in Brooklyn. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, thank you for taking my call. And, you know, it's not the particular date, the number that we celebrate. It's the event. According to the prophet, unto us a child was born, unto us a son was given. So it was not only the birth, which was great, but it was the fact that God gave his son at that point. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. So I celebrate the event, not the particular date. Thank you.
You're very welcome, sir. God bless you. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Leesburg, Virginia. Clyde, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, hello, thank you.
You're welcome.
The reason I think the key here is you said Christian celebrating that day. And with Christians and celebrating anything of Christ, there are no restrictions. And the New Testament is very, offers so much flexibility on how we worship and how we celebrate the things of Christ also. So again, once again, no restrictions on what Christians can do. And it was Paul, I believe, who was talking about those who were, well, there was a complaint that came to Paul as related to those who were preaching and evangelizing for with various motives, whether it was for money, whether it was for notoriety or whatever. But Paul said that as long as Christ's name is getting out there, he didn't care much about the motives.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, so I think that puts us back into this of no restrictions on when and where we celebrate Christ, as long as those of us who are believers are getting Christ's name out there, even during this season.
Got it. Yeah, Clyde, you bring up some important principles. You know, the New Testament gives us a lot of specifics, but then a lot of things it doesn't give us specifics. And for example, issues having to do with leadership, exactly how church government and leadership is structured. There are principles given, but those principles can work in many, many different cultures and with many different expressions. Could it be that that was intentional by God in the giving of these teachings? The same with calendar, that there was not an explicit calendar given to the church? Thank you for the call, sir. Others would argue, come on, a lot of these converts had heard Paul in the synagogue because they were Gentile God-fearers, so they already knew the biblical calendar, the Jewish calendar, and that would have been the natural calendar for them to keep. Then you find, it's not far into church history, that the Gentile church finds it odd that Jewish believers are still keeping the Jewish calendar, which would suggest that they themselves were not. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Mary in Temple Hills, Maryland. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, good afternoon. Well, like many people, I wondered myself, but I was brought up where we did celebrate Christmas, but in my heart, you know, because God searches the heart of people, I believe in Christ, and I'll be happy for a day to glorify him. And because, you know, we said we do not know the day that he was born, but I did read in Jeremiah, where Jeremiah, I see a lot of things he talked about, which I see happening in the time that I'm growing in, right here in Maryland and D.C., a lot of things. So I asked people to read Jeremiah, which I talked to about the cutting down of the trees and
right.
putting up stuff. And so you could clarify that more, dear, to get more knowledge. But like I say, God knows each person's heart, and, you know, many of us, to bring clarity to the lifestyle we had from small growing up, we from our heart praise the Lord, we glorify him, we put his name on the tree. You know, some of us stub the tree and give the kids a gift every month, you know, because, you know, we have a little something going on, you know, with other people who don't like the tree. But it's all about God and his birthday.
Got it. All right. Hey, I appreciate you weighing in. Thank you so much. 866-34-TRUTH. So, our caller was just referring to Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, where God says, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word that the Lord has spoken to you, house of Israel. This is what the Lord says. Do not learn the ways of the nations or be terrified by signs in the heavens, although the nations are terrified by them. For the customs of the peoples are worthless. Someone cuts down a tree from the forest. It is worked by the hands of a craftsman with a chisel. He decorates it with silver and gold. It is fastened with hammer and nails so it won't totter. Like scarecrows in a cucumber patch, their idols cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot walk. Do not fear them, for they can do no harm, and they cannot do any good. People say that's telling you don't decorate a tree. No, that's saying don't put up a tree as an idol. They were not putting up a tree the way people would put up a Christmas tree. Now, I'm not saying to put up a Christmas tree or not. I'm not even discussing that. At that moment, I'm simply saying Jeremiah 10 is not talking about a Christmas tree. It is talking about a tree as an idol, taking wood and erecting it. This is how the prophets would expose the folly of it. You take a piece of wood from a tree, and now you make it into an idol and bow down before it and say, this is a god. Come on. What are you talking about? 866-34-TRUTH. Now, look, you might say, if something arose as a pagan custom, and then centuries later we did it unknowingly, let's just say wearing a tie was originally as part of a satanic ceremony. It's just a complete hypothetical example. Would I want to wear a tie today? It's a fair question to ask. But then you say, come on. I mean, there's debate about the origins of the different things that are done on the holidays, and to say they're all pagan is, well, that's part of the debate that people have. Some say we celebrate it, but without the trappings. Let's go to Cartersville, Georgia. Ronald, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. My family is against Christmas. We're not Jewish. We began walking our faith with reading the Bible in a Gentile, we'll say a Gentile teaching church. And as I read the Bible, my thing with Christmas is when I read Judges 17 and seen the humanism that was going forth, with the priesthood. And then when I read in Samuel where God had no place with idols, when Dagon fell down, to bring God into a place where there's paganism going on, and I'm talking like bringing Santa into the church realm. On this holiday, on Easter, it would be the Easter Bunny and the eggs on Easter. I don't see God being pleased with that, and so that's why my family decided not to celebrate the Christmas holiday.
Got it. All the trappings that came with it. Yeah, understood. Can you really separate it from the trappings? Is that what the world does? Does the world add the trappings, or is the whole thing itself of the world? 866-34-TRUTH. Get back to your calls. We come back. You might say, I'm more confused than ever. Hey, sort it out. And whatever you do or don't do, do it with a whole heart before the Lord.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Again, the main thing I would emphasize to you during this annual Christmas debate, Michael Brown, welcome back to the Line of Fire. The main point I would emphasize is, let's say that you're raising your kids, raising your family. Christmas is always a special time of year. And it's somewhat spiritual, somewhat carnal also. And then you get convicted about it. You think it's wrong. You shouldn't do it anymore. And you just tell your kids, okay, we're not going to do this. Just be sensitive to the fact that you don't want to raise your kids in a deprived way. Meaning that if there was something fun, then replace it with something else that's fun. If there was something spiritual, then move that something spiritual to another time of the year so that you don't just negate what was wrong, but you also replace anything that was good. Does that make sense? And family traditions are good and they're important. Regardless of where you come down on this, a life cycle with family is important. It's a great way to teach. It's a great way to build a certain solidarity and unity. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to AJ in Hull, Massachusetts. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you. I just want to say first, I thank you for all that you do in your ministry. I've been following you for quite a while, and I guess one of the reasons why I'm conflicted after learning all the paganism research is that part of my story was when I was growing up, my mom and dad, who are currently divorced, my dad's side, which is Jewish, but they were like secular reform. But whenever we celebrated the holidays, Passover and Hanukkah, I loved it. But what was always bizarre was that there was no like love for God at the core. But since following Jesus Yeshua, it's like ignited a flame in me and a passion for the Jewish roots. And so as I've been pursuing that and I've discovering this pagan stuff, I've been kind of conflicted because I know that it says in, I think, Corinthians about how important it is to be equally yoked because of all the pain that can come from it. So I also wanted to be sensitive to, like, my mom, who went all out for my dad. So at the same time, I want to honor God, but also be sensitive to my mom.
Yeah. Well, what I would suggest is this, AJ. First, thank you for the kind words. I appreciate it. Let's put these in a couple of different categories. Within the family, whatever you can do to bless family members and to be social at this time of the year, whether it's celebrating Hanukkah or Christmas or the biblical calendar, that you just participate in whatever you can with family for family's sake. And then in your own life, and then as you have your own family, that you do what you can do with a whole heart to the Lord. That you do not what you, because God's not looking at it as if, no, too much of that, no, too little, oh, just got it right. He's not looking at us as we're really seeking to honor him, unless it's clearly an issue laid out in Scripture of what pleases him and what doesn't please him. So do what you can do with a joyful heart before the Lord. recognizing that your father loves your expression of gratitude and worship towards him and is not watching you in some critical, negative way. And then whatever you can do with family, put that on a separate level. You can do something with your mom that makes her happy, great. And then in your own private life, or as you have your own family and kids, then you develop traditions, family traditions that are meaningful to you and that you can joyfully pass on to the next generation. Thank you for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, let's try to reconnect in Lubbock, Texas. Aaron, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. I would just like to ask, you know, you brought up the Thai example earlier about pagan roots and origins. But, I mean, I don't remember God giving Moses the language of Hebrew. You know, they kind of took that on. But people bless, you know, the Lord with that language every day. And I don't know why we judge one another on so-called origins.
In other words, if you just look at the language of the Bible, which we look at Hebrew as like a holy language. In Isaiah 19, it's called Sfat Kanaan, the language of Canaan, because that was a Canaanite dialect. So what was once a Canaanite dialect became the way that God expressed himself with Ten Commandments and with the Hebrew Scriptures. So you could make that case in terms of everything, in a certain sense, is secular, but then we take it and use it for the glory of God. So take December 25th, whatever the day was originally used for. Now we use it for the glory of God. Hey, Aaron, I appreciate the call. Thank you. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go back to the Bronx, New York. Humberto, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, good afternoon, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Doing very well, thanks.
God bless you. Dr. Brown, I used to be a believer. I used to celebrate Christmas, look, you know, very towards the festivities. I was young, you know, and I didn't know anything, and I just basically follow it because of tradition. But then I started taking Bible studies with the Jehovah Witnesses, and they put a lot of emphasis on this being a pagan celebration. And then that prompted me to do a lot of research. And sure enough, they were correct. They were right. I'm not a witness, but I give them credit for that. If you read John chapter 4, verse 24, it says this. It says, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and truth. And it's very important that we, you know, if we're going to do something that on our own, it's one thing. But if we're going to do something that God requires of us to do, it has to be in truth. It can't, you know, anybody, you know, there's a lot of different minds and different thoughts and different concepts and beliefs. We can't just conglomerate everything and say, okay, this is truth. You worship this and you worship that. You know, Jesus said to be one mind, one spirit, you know, and we have to follow, you know, worship God in truth. And in December 25th, you know, sadly, it's not mentioned in Scripture. It's not the birth of Christ. If you remember what Scripture says about the shepherds being out there with the sheep, December 25th is too cold for.
Yeah, you know, if you go, since you've done some research on this, and I've got to run, I've got a break coming up, but you raised major points, of course, that others have raised in terms of it would be unlikely that the shepherds would be out at night. If you go to a website, December 25th, DEC25TH, December25th.info, you'll actually find answers to all of these questions where they say, no, we can make a good case for December 25th being the time of his birth. And you do have examples of shepherds that are out at night at that time of the year, etc. But these are the questions that people do raise, and I appreciate you for raising them as well, dear brother. All right, got to go. 866-34-TRUTH. I'll be taking calls the next hour. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get your calls in the next hour. Even if you can't be listening on radio, you can still participate. Catch all 2 hours by going to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Click on Latest Broadcast later today to listen to both hours of the debate. And be sure to check out the special resource offer. Take advantage of it. Any order of any size, 25% off. My bottom line, as we come to the end of our annual Christmas debate, whatever you do, do it with all your heart to God, honoring Jesus above all. Was Jesus really born on December 25th, or are we sure that he wasn't? And should we celebrate a holiday that has alleged pagan origins, or is it always right to celebrate the birth of Jesus? Or maybe we should just celebrate Hanukkah? We'll debate it all today right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The voice of my dear friend, Messianic Jewish worship leader, psalmist Marty Goetz. Yeah, psalmist more than worship leader, I would say. O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, of course, a classic hymn that Marty's singing. This is a time of the year when many churches do special outreaches. Many people come to faith, get saved. This is a time of year where many believers reflect on Jesus coming into the world and celebrate his birth. This is also a time of the year of tremendous worldliness, carnality, and even pagan tradition mixed in. How do we sort these things out as the people of God? For years now, almost every year, maybe every year that I've been on Live Talk Radio, so 6.5 years now, we facilitate a debate for you, our listeners, to call in and weigh in on these different subjects. Some of you say, look, God gave us a biblical calendar. Yes, it was for Israel, but those were holy days, appointed times. Why change that? If you want to celebrate the birth of Jesus, do that, say, at the time of Tabernacles in September, October. And if you want to celebrate his death and resurrection, which, of course, we should do that during the Passover season when that happened, which would be March, April, roughly the same time we celebrate Easter. Others would say, well, look, there is a holiday already at this time of the year, and Jesus would have celebrated, namely Hanukkah. So let's celebrate Hanukkah. You say, but if you celebrate Hanukkah, then you're not celebrating the birth of Jesus. When do we get to do that? Someone else would say, where is it written in the Bible? Where is it written in the Bible that we're supposed to celebrate his birth? You say, but it is celebrated. When he comes into the world, it's celebrated. Shouldn't we join the celebration? Others would say, well, why think of him as a baby? We celebrate his death and resurrection. Others would say, yeah, but not December 25th, because that's pagan. Others would say, but it's been redeemed. The day's been redeemed. And on the discussion goes. So we're going to facilitate another hour of that discussion. We just had a lively first hour, and we can agree to disagree on different things. You may have a strong conviction. Your conviction may say may be to each his own. But we'll talk about all of those things. I do just want to say this. This is a time of great pain and turmoil in America right now. It's a time of tremendous upheaval and division and separation. It's a time of great uncertainty, which means it's a great time for the gospel. It's a great time for Jesus to be exalted. It's a great time for us to go beyond political issues and go beyond social issues and transcend racial divisions, and transcend conflict and difficulty in our culture, and bring a message of redemption and hope. And ultimately, whether you celebrate Christmas or not, Jesus coming into the world is a celebration of hope. Jesus coming into the world is a celebration of God's love. Jesus coming into the world is a message that it's not all dark, it's not all gloom, it's not all hopeless. God has sent his son into the world to die for sinners and to bring the kingdom of God, to bring us into right relationship with God. So we're going to talk about this constructively. I've got a few other things I'll weigh in on as well. 866-34-TRUTH. The sooner you're able to call in, the better chance we have of getting to your call in this next hour. Just saw someone posted this on Twitter. Notice some great debates between my friend Dr. James White and me. He said I may just be his favorite Arminian. What do you know?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right. Yeah. A little different Christmas music there. Let's weave that one in there. I think we will not repeat that one. 866-34-TRUTH. It is time for our annual Christmas debate. Just had a lively hour. This is your forum to weigh in, pro, con, on the celebration of Christmas. We started last hour with two very strong con calls, negative calls, then a whole bunch of positive, and then a few neutral in the midst of it. Before we get to that, in case you haven't heard, according to reports out now, top IRS officials specifically targeted Tea Party groups and misled the public about its secret political targeting program led by Lois Lerner. Politico provides the top six takeaways from the new congressional report that identifies the IRS's targeting of conservative groups. This is called a bombshell report. And the six major takeaways: number one, the IRS admitted that the front office was spinning about the targeting rumors as early as 2012, after IRS Commissioner Douglas Shulman denied the Tea Party targeting to Congress. It was lying through their teeth, from what we now know. Then IRS Commissioner Stephen T. Miller almost broke down and told the truth about the Tea Party targeting at a July 2012 hearing, but Lerner's sidekick, Nicole Flax, told him not to. And number three, the IRS definitely treated Tea Party applications by a different standard than applications. From other C4 groups. Four, Lois Lerner expressed her frustration about having to potentially approve a lot of groups, and her colleagues in the agency assured her that she wouldn't have to. Five, the IRS reached out to outside advisors to help come up with ways to deny tax-exempt status to, quote, icky organizations, these conservative organizations that gave people a, quote, icky feeling. Number six, a May 2011 email from a lawyer in the IRS chief counsel's office made clear that the agency sought to use a new gift tax to target donors to nonprofit political groups. No surprise. I've, like many others, had profound, deep distrust for the IRS's handling of these various conservative groups for some time now. 866-34-TRUTH. Christmas, to celebrate it or not. Let's go to the phones. We'll start in Queens, New York. Princess, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Good afternoon, Dr. Brown. I do enjoy your show.
Thank you very much.
I'm saying that I don't have a problem with acknowledging the birth of Christ. And if somebody chooses to celebrate it on the 25th, that's their prerogative. However, my issue is that the world celebrates December 25th. Of course, they remove Christ out of it. But as believers, if we decide, okay, we know that he was not born on the 25th, but we're going to use this day because the Bible says if you want to honor one day greater than the other, but do it unto the Lord. But mm-hmm. most believers are not doing it unto the Lord. Sometimes you could go into a believer's house, you can't tell the difference between them, how they celebrate it, and how the world does. There are no distinctions. So if you're going to say, no, but we honor all day equally unto the Lord, exactly, the key word is unto the Lord. A lot of the times, that's not the case. Like, for instance, my husband and I, we've never put up a tree. We've never given our child a gift on that day. However, we have chosen to acknowledge Christ's birth on that day, but the focus is on Jesus Christ, his birth, and then we talk about his death. However, we know that he had to be born in order for him to die, which is the greatest gift. But as believers, the world doesn't know the difference because we celebrate it just as the world. We do Santa. Some of us don't even talk about Christ. So then it becomes, if you're going to use scripture and say, well, we're honoring the day, unto the Lord, like Romans says, let no man judge you in whatever feast, and that's great. But again, if you're doing it unto the Lord, then great. But if you're not celebrating Christ, then you're just observing another day, and it's just pagan.
Got it. Hey, some great points there, Princess. Much appreciated, and so glad to have you as a listener. 866-34-TRUTH. What do you think about what she had to say? She raises some important points. You know, you can look at this in so many different ways. But before I go back to the phones, on the one hand, we could say, look, we know that the world hates this time. It'll celebrate all the trappings and go crazy with Christmas presents and Santa Claus and all this other stuff and Christmas trees. But it does not want to focus on Jesus. And people are constantly trying to take Christ out of Christmas. You could use that to say that shows that this is an important time for the church to redeem. Or you could argue the opposite. No, it's a total worldly thing. That's why the world loves it. Their issue is with Jesus, wherever you want to put Jesus. Does the day matter? If, in fact, this was a pagan day and the church said, yeah, pagans are getting saved, and we need to do something on this day, so we'll celebrate the birth of Jesus. Great. Others say, no, there are actually Christian leaders who did believe that this was the time of the birth of the Messiah, and that's why they celebrated this day. It just happened to be the same day as a pagan holiday. And others say, well, we don't know. The day doesn't matter. It's the spirit of it. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Soda Springs, Idaho. Welcome to the Line of Fire, Terry. I don't know that I've heard of Soda Springs, Idaho before today.
It's very southern Idaho.
Okay, well, great. So are you in southern Soda Springs? Or Soda Springs is just, so you're in southern
Soda Springs.
Got it.
Soda Springs is almost to the Utah border.
All right, so Soda Springs is in southern Idaho. Now, do we have a radio broadcast that reaches you there, or are you listening online?
I listen online.
Got it. All right, because I didn't know that we had Soda Springs in southern Idaho on our radar yet. Okay, well, welcome to the broadcast. What are your thoughts, Terry?
I agree a lot with what Princess just said. We don't celebrate anymore. We used to, and I recently learned all of the stuff behind Christmas. And I think I was put off a bit because my church never said anything. And I go there for my truth. And so I was kind of hurt that when you go there, they put up a Christmas tree and they do all this stuff around it. And it was kind of disheartening to me that you never hear that truth behind everything there. And
now,
I took it to my pastor. Sorry,
yeah,
go ahead.
What were some of the things that you heard that disturbed you?
All of the paganness behind it, where the Christmas tree came from and the date, how they settled on a date, that it all started with the Roman Catholic Church, you know, and they brought all of this stuff in. But even the Puritans, you know, outlawed it for a long time.
Right, right, the founding of our country. So what did your pastor say?
He kind of said what many of them do say, that every day is for God, which I agree, but that the paganness was lost long ago, so it shouldn't really bother us, which really bothered me because I'm like, God doesn't change and he doesn't forget. So to say that it's lost long ago is kind of disturbing to me because God doesn't forget. He doesn't change. If he hated to be worshipped the way the pagans worship their gods, then he still hates that. So I don't mind celebrating Christ and bringing people in, but I mind putting up the tree in the church, and I mind doing Santa Claus and all those other things people do that they say they're celebrating Christ, but they're not. You know, everything they do
around it
kind of shows
right.
not.
And you got to be sensitive to your own convictions, Terry. Yeah, I appreciate that. Look, on the one hand, it's possible that there are things that we do that may have had a pagan origin. Well, look, you know, the days of the week, Sunday, right? Monday, Moonday, Sunday, you know, the Thursday, Thursday. Well, that has no meaning now. That's just words. And to us, it's just the day of the week. could be the same with other things. You say, no, it's different. If the tree has pagan origins, you're bringing a tree in your home, or why are you decorating a tree? What does that have to do with the birth of Jesus? All right, fair question. Some say, no, no, it's just a fun thing we do at this time of the year, and the birth of Jesus, that's like a separate celebration. Well, let everyone be convicted in their own mind, and let's reason with one another as we share these things. The church in which we got saved, Italian Pentecostal, did not have a lot of church traditions, so there was no Christmas tree. We didn't sing any different songs at that time of the year. I remember the next church Nancy and I were in after that, it seemed odd when we were, they did have a Christmas tree, and we were singing certain, I don't mean jingle bell songs, but certain hymns at a certain time of the year. It's like, why sing these at this time of the year? Anyway, the discussion continues. Is there something rich we're throwing out? Is there something pagan we're bringing in?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, our annual Christmas debate. What's your own take about the celebration of Christmas, or how, or when, or follow the biblical calendar, or some other alternative? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Kittery, Maine. Bob, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Doc Bob, by the way. Thank you for mentioning my website when you have.
Yes, sir. Dr. Bob, former Jehovah's Witness.
Yes, I was a witness for 22 years. And, it was about 3 years after I left that I started doing holidays again. And so this is
Bob, just real quick, tell our listeners what Jehovah's Witnesses believe about celebration of birthdays and then celebration of Christmas.
So Christmas, you know, as other people have mentioned, they believe that all of it is totally pagan. They get into the whole thing. I picked up on your previous caller who had studied with the Witnesses about the sheep not being in the field. Funny thing, 2 years ago we were in Israel. First week of January, and there were, in fact, sheep in the field with the shepherds. We actually saw them. Birthdays, their main problem there is that it calls too much attention to the individual, and that the person becomes an idol almost in the birthday celebration.
And then they say the only celebrations mentioned are Pharaoh and Herod birthday celebrations, So those are pagan and negative. Right, so yes. So you were in the Jehovah's Witnesses, which is not the most joy-filled religion to follow, and then got liberated from that through faith in Jesus. So what happened to your views on the holidays then?
So like most former Jehovah's Witnesses, I struggled with the whole thing a bit. And while I was a Jehovah's Witness, I really felt that by not celebrating the holidays, I was making a strong statement for Jehovah by my absence as my family celebrated holidays. And my family's largely unchurched, not super interested in spiritual things for the most part, but it was about 3 years after I got out. So it was 25 years they celebrated without me. And celebrating holidays with my birth, with my family was really kind of integral to me being reintegrated into my family in a way that I had not been for the 25 years. The interesting thing for me is that since I've celebrated with my family again, we generally get together for dinner together, and there'll be anywhere between 12 and 20 people for dinner. And since I've started celebrating with my family again, which has been probably about a dozen years now, they always ask me to pray before the meal. So I've kind of become the family chaplain in a sense.
Yep.
So being present at these holidays now allows me to highlight Christ in a way that I certainly couldn't when I was absent from them. And, you know, all the pagan stuff aside, you know, when I get a chance to talk to witnesses and they start on that, I say, what about your wedding ring? You know, that has pagan influence. That had a pagan background, too. And the Watchtower's actual argument on that is that, oh, nobody looks at it as a worship thing anymore. And so I kind of say the same thing with a tree and all of that. I mean, you can take it as a pagan thing, or you can look at an evergreen as a symbol of everlasting life. But the holidays have been a blessing for me since I've been out of the witnesses, and mm-hmm. it's allowed me to highlight Christ to my family.
Got it. All right. Thanks so much, Bob. And just let our listeners know what your website is.
Yes, www.docbob.org.
Got it. All right. So if you've got questions for Jehovah's Witnesses and others, good place to go. God bless you, sir, and be blessed in your holiday celebration, 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Ken in Charlotte, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. I did my dutiful waiting. Now, I had attended two Messianic churches, one in New Jersey and one in Missouri. And the one in New Jersey was all about rejoicing in the Lord. And the one in Missouri was very strange. It got to be more and more. Let's go to, Hagar. Let's stand more on Mount Sinai rather than Mount Zion.
Ah. All right. So in other words, as you attended the Messianic congregations, one of them, in seeking to restore the Jewish roots of the faith, began to put more emphasis perhaps on Moses than on Jesus.
Yeah. And what was funny was that we don't celebrate Christmas, when it was really hard. It got to a point of the law that I was expecting him, I was jokingly, of course, but I would say to some people, gee, one of these days he's going to ask the males to make sure that they're circumcised. Mm-hmm. I just had to stop going because it was just too legalistic. Because the problem today is a lot of churches and pastors have one foot on Mount Sinai and one on Mount Zion, and they think that, we have to perform and read a certain amount of chapters and blah, blah, blah. But no, I've never had a problem, and
So where do you come down? I've just got a time crunch here. Where do you come down now in terms of celebrating Christmas?
Oh, I rejoice with the decorations and all. I know he wasn't born. The shepherds were not out during the cold weather, and he was born probably around Passover. But I have no trouble with it, and neither did the. He was a famous rabbi up in the Northeast, whose name But he had no trouble. We did it on Sunday. He had always church, but the one in Missouri, it had to be on Saturday because that was the Sabbath.
Got
and
it.
I just couldn't take the legalism anymore. So
got it. All right. Hey, Ken, I appreciate you calling and weighing in. Obviously, the celebration of Sabbath, a whole other issue, and did it ever switch to Sunday and so on, and does the day matter? But thank you, sir, for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Stay right where you are because I've got a break coming up and I don't want to cut your call short. I do want to say this, though. We do not know for sure what day Jesus was born. We do not know for sure. Question is, should we celebrate his birth? If so, should we celebrate his birth on a certain day? If so, is there a reason why his birth was celebrated December 25th? You just heard a reference from Ken that it couldn't have been December 25th because the shepherds tending their flocks by night, they wouldn't have been doing that at that time. Then you heard from Bob saying, hey, he was in Israel in the first week of January some time back, and there were shepherds out with their flocks at night. we don't know for sure when Jesus was born. We can be sure about that. We don't, because we have not been given the specific date. But the questions that come with it, that's what we're discussing on the air today. All right, phone lines are jammed. We'll get right back to your calls on the other side of the break. But exciting news. Go to my website as soon as you have a chance. Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Now through January 4th, so limited time, 25% off all orders of all size, whatever you order online. Take advantage of it. We've never done this before. 25% off anything, any amount of any order. AskDrBrown.org.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Again, the voice of Marty Goetz, O Come Emmanuel. Boy, is that powerful. And Marty is an anointed servant of the Lord. 866-34-TRUTH, our annual Christmas debate, which we do for edification, learning, and help us think through issues together and expose one another to different views within the body. Some of this may tie in with your view of God. Is God's attitude, whatever exalts Jesus, wonderful? However, attention can be drawn to Jesus, wonderful, because that's all to the glory of the Father. And this is a wonderful time to make the world know that the Son of God has come into the world. And it's the one time when the whole world stops and thinks about this on a certain level, or much of the world does. Or is your view of God one who's saying, don't mingle with the world and with darkness, and don't compromise purity for the sake of a common cause with the world? Maybe depending on your view of God or how, and there's truth in both of those things that I just mentioned, and right and wrong in both of those, maybe that fuels the fire of your approach. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Baltimore, Maryland. Adam, welcome to the line of fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate this conversation.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, I want to kind of dovetail with what the caller before, her name was Princess, was saying, and it really resonated with me because I was very staunchly against the celebration of Christmas at one time because of its pagan origins, but now not so much because basically what I see is God's concerned about what are we doing today? Why are we doing what we do today? There's so many believers that I know that go into credit card debt because they feel so pressured by the society in which we live to buy a bunch of gifts that people don't need just so they'll, you know, match up with everybody else in their family that's playing this game or the coworkers or whoever. And, you know, it seems to be the antithesis of what Christ was coming for. I mean, he left everything behind, born in a manger, you know, and it's like, so I began to use it as an opportunity to evangelize. And whether the statistic is true or not, I always used to hear, oh, the day of Christmas is the highest suicide rate in America. So I felt compelled just to go out on the streets and, you know, meet people on that day. There's lots of homeless people out, things going on in the community, in the city in Baltimore where I live. And, you know, inviting homeless people to a dinner or things along those lines is, I think, is much more in keeping with the spirit of what Christ had in mind. And one additional note, when I was in Nepal in 2009, I was in a rural area of East Nepal called Briatnagar, and there were some believers out there, just on fire believers, you know, fasting, praying regularly. And they used this as an opportunity from December 25th or about to the new year to go and evangelize from town to town. And they were very effective because they said this is the one season of the year where the community actually tolerates proselytization or, you know, campaigning for Christ, because they say, oh, this is the Christian holiday, we'll tolerate them singing hymns and passing out tracts and stuff like that. So I think God can use, and I think he's pleased with it when it's done in the way that brings glory to God in spirit and in truth.
Got it. Yeah, Adam, I appreciate the points and the practical nature of it. We've got friends that work in Nepal a lot as well. A lot of Jewish outreach, actually, in Nepal. All right, thank you for the call, 866-34-TRUTH. You hear that music, that means we'll be right back. As soon as we come back, go to your calls, John, Charlie, Kyle, Jacob, others, stay right there. We're coming your way. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Speaking of birthdays, this is the birthday of our younger daughter, Megan, born December 23rd in 1978. Her older sister, Jennifer, born a year and a half before. And I posted this on Facebook. Go to the page, Ask Dr. Brown, AskDR Brown. And if you don't follow us there, if not quote a fan there, connect with us there. You'll get tons of up-to-date stuff and posts that'll edify you and quotes that'll challenge you and links to my latest articles and videos and everything. And occasionally some special pictures like today. There's a picture. There I am with our daughters on Long Island. And you can see the face of our younger daughter, Megan, back then. And she's older than I am, than I was in that picture. She's older than me today. And I said this, can I encourage you to live a life worthy of the Lord, to make your life count for Him, to live your life to the full? Yesterday, Joe Cocker died at the age of 70. I'd seen him in concert decades ago at the Fillmore East. Reminded me of how fleeting life really is and how quickly the time passes. And then what do we have to show for it? And then today is the birthday of our younger daughter, Megan. And I posted this picture on her Facebook page, pointing out to her that she's now older than I was in the picture. Again, I say time passes quickly. Redeem it joyfully for the glory of God. 866-34-TRUTH to celebrate Christmas or not. Let's go to John driving into Maryland. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon there. Yes, I'm a Jehovah's Witness at the time, at this moment right now. I'm a former Jehovah's Witness. Now, I don't celebrate Christmas not only because of my knowledge that I've acquired, but at the same time, because I know that it's a lie. And knowing from the scriptures that Jehovah detests or hates lies, I don't do such a thing. Now, I've heard that many people wish to celebrate Christmas depending on whatever excuse they might have. But going through the scriptures, through the Bible, I've learned that I've heard so far on the radio that they want to please God. If that is really the intentions, to please Jehovah and also Jesus, then we can see through the Bible what Jehovah really wants for us to do, and that is His will. So now, when we see what the scriptures say about doing His will, all these other colors that's called for or ex-Jehovah Witnesses, we and many people that read the Bible will certainly know that if you really want to please Jesus, it's not by celebrating or doing what you do on that day. There's other things that we could do to really please them. And if there's people that want to know more information on the truth, go to jw.org. There's plenty of truth in there on that website.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, Jehovah's Witnesses have such terrible errors. I mean, mispronunciation of the divine name, which is not Jehovah, denial of the deity of Jesus, denial of assurance of salvation. I mean, those are really serious issues. Aren't there better places to...
Because you said the mispronunciation of Jehovah. You just said it's a pronunciation. Now, we're not talking literally. You know, there's a difference between transliterate and translation.
There's no such thing as a translation. We're not talking about the transliteration, the actual pronunciation, the way it was said. We know it was not Jehovah.
I agree with you, but in English, it is Jehovah.
No. It's in English, it should be either Yahweh or Jahweh. If you want to,
in English, it's not Jahweh. Jahweh is in Latin.
No. John. The Hebrew. Yes. Do you agree that the Hebrew was Yahweh?
I thought in Hebrew was the four-letter word, the tetragrammaton.
That's rightly pronounced Yahweh. That's the best understanding of how it's pronounced. But Jehovah's Witnesses, let's focus on Jesus. Such terribly serious error, saying that he was a created being. The Jehovah's Witnesses saying that there are other gods, that you have God the Father, and then Jesus is another God with a small g. I mean, that's just horrific, terrible error.
So why
go?
Jesus himself said it.
Jesus himself said what?
Jesus himself said that he had a God on John chapter 17, verse 20, or 20, verse 7.
you know, where he said that he stopped hanging on to him because he would go to.
And what did Tom? What did Thomas say? What did Thomas? Yeah, there's only one God. Okay, there's only one God, and Jesus is the Son of God. There's only one God. But the bottom line, though, John, you just disqualified everything you said. In other words, no one's going to take anything because you're promoting Jehovah's Witness doctrine, which is false doctrine, which says that Jesus was a created being.
John,
this is not a day to debate Jehovah's Witnesses, okay? This is about Christmas. The moment you said you're a former Jehovah's Witness, so I let you talk as a former Jehovah's Witness. But when you point, unless I misunderstood you, when you point to the JW website, friends, let me just say this. If you want to be deceived, if you want to be misled, if you want bad information and poor scholarship, then you go to that website. The horrifically ridiculous translation of John 8:58, the New World Translation, where Jesus says, "Before Abraham was, I am." The ridiculous translation with a grammatical explanation introducing Greek grammar that doesn't even exist. The ridiculous explanation of John 20:28, when Thomas says to Jesus after his resurrection, "My Lord and my God." And Jehovah's Witnesses have to say that either it was like, "Oh man, like holy cow, that's what he meant by my Lord and my God," or that he looked at Jesus, said, "My Lord," then looked up to heaven, said, "My God." I mean, these crazy, ridiculous interpretations. And that everything that's written in the New Testament saying that we can have assurance of salvation and know that our sins are forgiven and that actually only applied to the 144,000 sealed. Yeah, once you find out where that doctrine came from, and then the legalistic push to have to go out and meet a quota. You know, something very sad happened some years ago. A couple of Jehovah's Witnesses came by my house, and my wife let me know they were there, and I just went to chat with them. And I told them about new life I'd experienced in Jesus and forgiveness of sins and intimacy with God and the walk that I've had with him these decades and how near he is and how dear he is and how I live a life to seek to honor and please him, a holy life before him with his grace and help. And I said to them, what do you have to tell me or offer me? And one said, "Well, I can give you hope." I said, I've got hope. You don't even have assurance of your salvation. All right, John, need to do some more study, buddy. In fact, go to docbob.org, former Jehovah's Witness that called in. All right, aside from that, back to the Christmas discussion, we go to Salt Lake City, Utah. Charlie, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, and thank you for clarifying that and putting that in the right order. We appreciate that very much.
Oh, you bet.
For him to plug in like that is totally insanity. My take on it is, I'm like the caller before you. I think it's a great day for witnessing and breaking forth with people that don't normally have a chance to witness. They can take this opportunity to witness to people. You know, I always say, well, when I go to stores or anything, well, how come, who do you know, who is Jesus to you? And I take that opportunity to witness to him. For instance, I have a Christmas party this year with my wife's family. A lot of them are non-believers. And, of course, I get to, being the host, I get to lead them in prayer and tell them a little bit more about Jesus. I find that a great opportunity as far as a witness tool. As far as personally, you know, the Bible tells us to work out our faith with fear and trembling, and those things that we use as idols, we all have them. But if we have our hearts with Jesus and with God, I think we can use this time as a positive time and not a negative.
Got it. Hey, I appreciate the practical thoughts there. Charlie, blessings to you, and may the Lord use this season for you to introduce Jesus to many. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, hang on right there. Don't want to rush a phone call here, so stay with me. I'll get your calls on the other side of the break. 866-34-TRUTH. And our JW advocating caller, Jehovah's Witness advocating caller, let's pray that God would open his eyes to the truth of the word, to the truth of the spirit. There are some advocating for freedom of religion, freedom of expression in America. So in the capital of Michigan, was it? I think there is now a satanic temple or a satanic display along with a nativity scene. Brian Fisher on barbedwire.com has written, under the founder's constitution, we don't have to put up with satanic displays. They've been erected or are being proposed at Oklahoma, Michigan, and Florida. Does the Constitution require us to put up with this idiocy? Brian Fisher says, absolutely not.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to our annual Christmas debate on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. So Brian Fisher's point in his article about satanic displays, freedom of religion, that the founding fathers, when they said freedom of religion, were talking about Christianity, and we're talking about you could not discriminate against one part of Christianity, Protestant versus Catholic, etc., and that there would not be a federal establishment of which Christian church was the church or the national church. And it had nothing to do with, say, a Satanist wanted to have a display or a Muslim wanted to have a display. You might say, well, that was the situation then. Things have changed. Hence the debate. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Queens, New York. Kyle, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hello, how are you?
Doing very well, thanks.
I feel honored to talk about this subject. I like to talk about the difference between Christmas and the birth of Christ.
Uh-huh.
Personally, I celebrate the birth of Christ. Jesus is God. But I notice that Ramadan is for Muslims, Hanukkah is for Jewish people. But who is Christmas for? Because if Christmas is for Christians, how come so many non-Christians celebrate that, including Muslims and Jewish people put up trees and stuff like that? Some, very small, but some, but they put up trees and stuff like that. I believe only born-again believers can really celebrate the birth of Christ. But when it comes to Christmas, it's just like everyone jumps all in. And I like to use this time of the year as a witnessing tool. Like, what does mm-hmm. Merry Christmas mean? When someone says Merry Christmas, what does that mean? When people say Merry Christmas to me, I say, oh, happy birth of Christ. And then I ask them, have you received the gift of God, everlasting life through faith in Jesus Christ? I use it as a witnessing tool, and I'm very bold with it, because if you say Merry Christmas to me, I'm going to say, oh, happy birth of Christ. Oh, are you a Christian, or are you born again? So it's a good opportunity. If we look at what does the tree tell us about Christmas, what does Frosty the Snowman tell us about Christmas, Santa and the lights and so many these other things, what do they tell us about Christmas? And that's why the Jehovah's Witness feel comfortable and make some Christians look foolish, because they come up with these true points, true statements, but they miss the point that Jesus is God. Jesus came in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Word is God.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to make, there's a born-again believers celebrate the birth of Christ, and that's the way, and that's how we live our life. And unless you had a new birth, you can't really celebrate the birth of Christ.
Yeah. Hey, may God's anointing and grace be with you, Kyle, as you lift up Jesus, especially at this time of the year. Thank you for the call, and thank you for being unashamed as a witness. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Bumpus, Virginia. Jacob, welcome to The Line of Fire. Hello, Jacob. Are you there? We lost Jacob. We'll go to Dave near Greensboro, North Carolina.
Hello. How are you
Hello.
Doing?
Doing very well. Thank you.
I just want to say God bless you. I appreciate what you're doing, brother.
Thank you.
I'm a Christian. I believe as a Christian, we've accepted what Christ has done for us. I acknowledge that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are God, and we're supposed to follow Christ and abide in Him. So,
yes,
if we're supposed to be the light, well, the light of the world and the salt, I believe in, if we choose to celebrate Christmas, then we should do it all out. We should show the,
I mean, all out, you mean a big, really big tree and spend lots of money on gifts, or all out meaning how we exalt Jesus?
All out as far as we, concerning exalting Jesus, yes, celebrating his birth, his life. I'm not talking about going into debt,
right,
sinning in any way, but showing the non-Christian how we celebrate the birth of Christ.
Got it. All right, so that should be a message that we're sending then. And what is our message? What's the world going to hear and learn from us? Got it. Hey, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Go back to Salt Lake City, Utah. John, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, David. I have a question for you regarding our salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're told to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, like you talked about earlier. However, we're also told to be joyous because we are saved. And no one ever really talks about that. It's kind of a something that makes me want to look into it further. Should I be afraid for my salvation if I'm a Christian and already saved?
No, you should only be afraid if you're playing games with sin. You should be afraid if you take the holiness of God lightly. You should be afraid if you think that no matter how you live, no matter what you do, there are no consequences to it. But if you love God and you want to please Him and honor Him, you should serve Him with great joy. You should serve Him with confidence, with joy, with holy reverence, recognizing who He is, recognizing the preciousness of the blood that was shed. So there's a sobriety. There's sometimes pain because of a dying world. But you better believe that in His presence is fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. And that's why we're commanded again and again to rejoice in the Lord. Read Philippians through a few times. You'll find very interesting in the midst of Philippians in the second chapter, addressing working out our salvation with fear and trembling, you'll find that all surrounded by a great joy-filled message. Rejoice, rejoice. Jesus has died for our sins and risen from the dead, and we are in Him. Therefore, we rejoice with heart and with soul. hey, we are out of... I'll tell you what. Reconnected with Jacob. We're short on time, but weigh in very quickly. Go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to say I'm my family's former Jehovah's Witness. I was raised and all that, and there was never any celebrating of Christ. I'm sorry, I said former. My grandparents are still Jehovah's Witness, and then their later years, there's not a lot of joy there in these later years, and I struggled with, do I celebrate Christmas, do I not, as a born-again Christian? I have four children. It's really hard, and I wanted to know what you thought about Jeremiah 10, but
Jeremiah 10, tell you what, we're out of time. Jeremiah 10 is unrelated to Christmas tree. Jeremiah 10 has to do with putting up a tree for the celebration of idolatry, that tree represents the deity, that you chop it down and you put it up and you decorate it because it represents the deity. That's completely unrelated. I'd encourage you to develop traditions within your family, Jacob, to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And if this is a time of year to do it, wonderful. And then at another time of the year to focus on His death and resurrection and do it with a whole heart, joyfully to God, whatever you do. Hey, gotta run. Glad that you came out of the area you're in. Make sure you take advantage of the website special, 25% off on all orders right now. Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. My bottom line today, whatever the world does or doesn't do, it is glorious truth to know Jesus came to the world.